This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The American Farm Bureau says producers are ineligible for some CARES Act Small Business Association loans, but eligible for others. AFBF Congressional Relations Director R.J. Carney says they believe farmers can't participate in the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, but do qualify for paycheck assistance.
As of now, AFBF's interpretation of the rule is farmers are eligible to participate in the Paycheck Protection Program. Farmers are ineligible to participate in the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. And we are still working to resolve whether or not farmers are eligible for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Grant Program.
Carney explained why some $10 billion in EIDL loans are off limits to producers.
The explanation from the SBA is there are duplicative programs administered via USDA's Farm Service Agency for disaster.
That still leaves the pot at $350 billion in paycheck protection money farmers can apply for, though banks, legal hurdles, and confusing guidelines are slowing some of those applications. Carney says AFB, meantime, is stressing speed in getting the $9.5 billion out the door to livestock, dairy, and specialty crop producers, and $14 billion in Commodity Credit Corporation money to farmers and possibly ethanol producers.
The American Farm Bureau Federation sent a letter to Secretary Perdue urging he and his team over at USDA to set the highest priority on getting critical funding into farmers' and ranchers' hands absolutely as soon as possible.
The letter does not tell the Secretary where AFBF wants those funds spent, but stressed the broad swath of farm sectors from ag to agritourism that desperately needs help to stay in business during this pandemic. And here on a state level, Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos wants to make sure family farmers can access Small Business Administration funding through the economic stimulus package.
Because we are such a ag-driven, agricultural-driven economy in our region, also getting a lot of questions about our family farmers. I just got off a call with the chairman of the Agriculture Committee, the big question that is up in the air, and I can tell you as a person who is on the Agriculture Committee, I am fighting for this. As our House Democrats, but we want to make sure that our family farmers can access those Small Business Administration grants, just like anybody else who owns a small business. And that language still has not been worked out, and there's somewhat of a back and forth going between the leadership of the Small Business Administration and the Secretary of Agriculture. But we are fighting for that to make sure that our farmers have access to those exact same benefits that small businesses do as well. We're able to get $9.5 billion in disaster assistance for our livestock farmers, dairy farmers, crop farmers, people who are part of farmers markets, et cetera. So that's available as well.
The Small Business Administration reported late last week that more than 17,000 companies with 500 employees or less have already applied for the $5.4 billion in funding. And from the nation's capital, U.S. Representative Rodney Davis on Friday sent a letter to Governor Pritzker advocating for funding for local governments in the 13th District who have experienced enormous financial burdens because of COVID-19. The CARES Act, passed by Congress, included $150 billion in federal funding to help local and state governments recover. Those with fewer than 500,000 people are reliant upon the state to allocate this funding. Quote, like many people living in them, small towns and cities in the 13th District are struggling financially because of the coronavirus, said Davis. Quote, in addition to helping the American people, Congress also passed funding to help our small towns and cities, and I've asked Governor Pritzker to consider them when administering this federal funding. When we hear more about larger cities, our smaller towns and cities are struggling as well. And moving on into other news from Washington, lawmakers are urging Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue to make temporary flexibilities on Farm Service Agency loans permanent for the duration of the COVID-19 pandemic. In a bipartisan letter signed by farm state senators, they urged Purdue to take action to ensure the continuation of our country's food supply and support rural areas during the coronavirus. The senators seek, quote, needed relief to farmers by the Agriculture Department, ensuring that the temporary flexibilities on farm loans recently announced by the FSA are made permanent for the duration of the pandemic and subsequent economic recovery, and also by ensuring adequate and equitable access to credit. The senators also urge USDA to consider making emergency measures such as deadline extensions, loan payment deferrals, and payment forbearance, and a full suspension of all current and pending foreclosure actions effective for the duration of the pandemic. In all, 43 senators signed the letter, led by Senator Amy Klobuchar from Michigan and John Hoeven, a Republican from North Dakota. And moving on now into Midwestern ag news, with planting near or actually happening here across mid-Illinois in some cases, Missouri's farm families are urged to adjust their operations to minimize the risk of spreading coronavirus on the farm. Agronomist Todd Lorenz with the University of Missouri Extension says with the virus able to live on surfaces for days, minimizing contact in commonly used areas, including the tractor cab, is key.
If you have several workers on the farm, you may use the same equipment, tractors, forklifts, or four-wheelers, and trucks even. Typically, one person hops off and another one hops on, which allows for adding a new set of germs to the equipment. So the question comes down to a strategy and thinking through things. Can we limit the use of a piece of equipment to one person? Sometimes that's impractical, but I think we need to make those kind of considerations.
Lorenz adds that if limiting equipment access is not possible, then areas where different people come into contact will need the additional cleaning and disinfection.
The steering wheels, the grab handles, the knobs and controls themselves. So you really need to make hand washing stations easily available before and after use of equipment. You need to have those tissues or antibacterial wipes. If you got nitrile gloves, that can keep you a little safer as well. And also paper towels, even in common areas. So those common areas would be the tractors, the trucks, the machine sheds, the bathrooms, having those sanitizers easily available.
Extension agronomist Todd Lauren says farmers should consider arranging for contactless deliveries of their seed, feed, and fertilizer, and if time allows, to let deliveries sit for at least a few days in the event that coronavirus could be on the packaging. And farmers are now faced with some tough marketing decisions as the price of commodity crops like corn and beans have tumbled. U of I ag economist Scott Irwin says if they can, it would be a good idea to hold off on making a corn sale.
Well, at this point, probably the best thing that we can say is just hold on because we really don't think that this pandemic crisis is going to last, you know, another complete year. Hopefully, in 2 to 3 months, we're through the worst of it and we're beginning to see some recovery. And so that suggests that holding right now is probably the best strategy.
The record number of corn acres that USDA reported farmers are thinking about planting complicates this advice. However, it does make things a bit easier on the soybean side as fundamentals continue to turn in that crop's favor, says Irwin.
On one hand, soybeans benefit because of the reduction in ethanol production, because a co-product of ethanol production is DDGS, which is a substitute for soybean meal. It's also a substitute for corn in feed rations. But on net, there's clearly an expectation that soybean meal use is going to go up because of the problems in ethanol. And we're also seeing some port closures and some slowdowns in South America. China's starting to come back into the market. So relatively speaking, things probably are looking better for soybeans than corn and ethanol right now.
Not that things look great, just that they look a bit better. You may read more from Scott Irwin about the ethanol and other topics on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Moving on now into state and local ag news, we have your first and latest crop progress and condition report, the first of the year here in 2020. For last week, there were 3.1 days suitable for field work during the week ending on the 5th. Statewide, the average temperature was 47.5 degrees, about a half degree above normal. Precipitation averaged 0.9 of an inch, or 0.7 below normal. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 71% adequate and 29% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 4% short, 67% adequate and 29% surplus. Winter wheat condition thus far was rated at 4% very poor, 6% poor, 28% fair, 44% good, and 18% excellent. And as some farmers are around the area starting to get some field worked and even some corn put into ground, none of those numbers have been accounted for just yet. And with some of those farmers in the fields, they're kicking up a little bit of dust. That's kind of rare over the past 15 months. But despite that things have been dried out for the last few weeks, the National Weather Service says that trend, unfortunately, will not last. James Otten with the National Weather Service office in Lincoln says things have dried out in recent weeks, obviously. And he says if you've got outdoor activities to be done, such as farming, you should take advantage of the nice days ahead.
What's going on is that we get some cooler air begin to move back into the area. We are looking for that 6 to 10 day outlook below normal temperatures for this time of year. So we're looking at through the middle of April. There could be some precip during that time frame, so above normal precipitation expected during that time frame. So even as you get into the weekend and next week, there's still a possibility we could get some precip on and off. Nothing looks severe at this time, only because it's going to be cooler. We're not going to be seeing the warmer temperatures that sometimes we get into the middle part of April. Then as we look beyond that into that 14-day outlook, 8 to 14-day outlook, still similar temperatures, cooler than normal, and precip slightly above normal as well. That 8 to 14 goes from April 13th through the 19th. And then when we start to look beyond that, for the rest of the month, it does appear that even through first part of May, we're looking at below normal temperatures and precip. Precip should transition more to around normal by that time frame.
There are chances for severe weather in the north and eastern portions of the state this week. Otten adds, if you were hoping for a white Easter, the chances are not looking favorable, unlike a few years ago, when there was snowfall on Easter Sunday. And remember the old wives' tale, if it rains on Easter Sunday, it'll rain for the next 7 Sundays. Let's hope not this year. And moving along now into local ag news. This year is the 17th year of the Farm Credit Ag Scholarship Program, which has awarded a total of over $500,000 to 387 students since 2004. This year, $60,000 was awarded. Scholarship selections are based on a combination of academic achievement, participation in leadership in school and community organizations like 4-H or FFA, and the applicant's commitment to an ag career in college. The following students were selected to receive the 2020 Farm Credit Illinois scholarships. 9 of the 30 are here in our WSMI listening area, and they include Ann Becker of Jacksonville, who will be graduating from Jacksonville High School, moving on to attend Oklahoma State University to study ag leadership; Mackenzie Harmon of Morrisonville, who will be graduating from Morrisonville to move on to attend Lincoln Land Community College to study ag communications; Kelsey Knabel of Pocahontas will graduate from Highland to attend Kaskaskia College to study ag; Reagan Cullenkamp of Carlinville will be graduating from Carlinville, moving on to attend the U of I at Champaign-Urbana to study ag and consumer economics, along with agribusiness marketing and management. In other students from the area, Carly Mettler of Highland will be graduating from Highland. She'll attend the U of I at Champaign-Urbana to study animal science. Tanner Mickey of Taylorville will graduate from Taylorville this spring, then attend Lakeland College in the fall to study as an ag transfer. Samantha Miles of Laomi in Sangamon County will graduate from Waverly, move on to attend Kansas State University, and she'll study ag economics, concentrating in international trade and development. Eric Schaefer of Awanico will graduate from Taylorville High School to attend Butler Community College to study animal science, and Matlin Thornsbury of Shipman in Macoupin County will graduate from Southwestern High School and attend Lincoln Land Community College as an agricultural transfer. And again, those 9 students are some of the Farm Credit Ag Scholarship Program Award winners for this coming fall. And that wraps it up for this Tuesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can send that to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, April 7th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.